From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Bob Brad, boys and girls, on the 4th of February 2011. I wake up every morning and move my fingers and go, oh, I made another one, which can't be too bad. It's Eric Wiltshire at the base of the Tatry Mountains, still here, alive and kicking. That's upset some people. Snowy, beautiful and wonderful, because it's the east of Slovakia, where sanity still prevails. Well, sometimes. Over in the zit of the nose of Europe, it's none other than the hairy monster himself. He should do that advert, shouldn't he? Do you remember that one with the bears for the with the honey biscuit?
I'm not going bear.
It's Lee Banks.
Hello, everybody. I'd just like to say that the weather here, well, it's wonderful in Slovakia. The weather here is rainy, windy and awful.
You sound just like that bloke from Rainbow.
What? Which one?
The old TV programme. Well, today we're going to look through the brown window.
Well, today we're going to look through the broken window. The way things are in Britain. So I sound like Zippy.
Yeah, well, either that or Bungle. Gabe Barry, it's none other than the co-founder of the Consumer Action Group, Mark Hender.
Yeah, well, hello there. And as for the weather here, it's just grey, neutral, grey in the sky, brown on the ground where all the dog's poo is.
So typically French, then?
But sorry, that's probably sort of an unfair and humiliating and offensive xenophobic joke against a national stereotype. So I won't say
it. I think it is, actually. I'm sure it is.
About
what you're saying. We'll get France to complain about you and then we'll become famous.
No, the ambassador probably won't hear it because he'll just be too busy in a pharmacy.
I am going to write to him and tell him what you say every week about France. And I'm going to get us on the international news as the worst three people on radio or TV.
And proud to be it. There was a documentary on French television just 2 days ago. It was very unusual that I picked it up because I don't watch French television. Mm-hmm. And even they reported that apparently French consummation of medicines, pharmaceuticals, outstrips the rest of Europe by, yeah, I can't think of the words offhand, but apparently the general public...
You meant consumption, didn't you?
Consumption, yeah. That's right.
Yes.
Consumption.
Yeah, if it's consummation of medicine, you must be diddling a doctor.
Well, I'll tell you, I think somebody's diddling somebody here because the French apparently buy 80% more medicines than any other country in Europe. It's
wow.
Incredible. And are they 80% more healthy? I don't think so. Do they live 80% longer? I'm quite certain they don't. They just spend 80% more. And who's laughing all the way to the bank? The pharmaceutical companies.
Well, they also drink loads of red wine.
Well, there is that. Mark, quick question. Do you have to go to, like in England, you can get aspirins and stuff at a petrol station?
No, you have to go to a pharmacy.
Everything is in pharmacies.
Pharmacies control it all. And, I mean, you know, here's an example of what's happened, because actually I've been having a massive toothache and I've got an operation on Monday. And I went to the dentist to start off about to deal with the infection, and he prescribed antibiotics for me.
Mm-hmm.
And in England, if you get prescribed, say, 5 days or a 6 day course of antibiotics, you go to the chemist and they give you exactly what you need for
yes.
those 6 days. They take it out and they put it in a separate bottle and they label it. Here they give you the packs that you need. They never break open the packs. So in fact, I've walked out, because he gave me an 8 day course, I've walked out with 2 weeks worth of antibiotics. And of course, you know, a lot of, you know, French people, I suppose, maybe French housewives, but French people, they then take all these extra medicines and they store them. And anytime they have a little infection or something in the future, they say, oh, I've got some penicillin somewhere, or they give it to their neighbours. And I mean, no wonder, you know, superbugs are being bred and so forth. And it all comes out of that kind of thing. So it costs a huge amount of money. And it leads to a massive abuse of very, very important medicines. And the French are totally up for it.
There ends this tourist information message for France.
Yes.
I thought that was very easy. How is your toothache now, Mark?
Well, it's much better because I've been taking my antibiotics and the infection's died down, I have an operation next Monday.
I know you just said that. I was just going to say that if it was bothering you, we could do the show at 2:30.
What, with the Chinese ambassador?
Yeah, that'll do.
Which is also another offensive stereotypical joke.
Yeah, I know. I'll tell you, Eric, he's going to get us taken off the air, and we'll have to write letters of apology like certain other people have had
to do. We'll come on to that in a minute, because I just think that is one of the most stupidest things I've seen for ages, and the best thing for PR for the best program on the planet. In years. But
that's
first,
why I'm saying keep doing it, Mark. We'll get there.
All will become clear, boys and girls. Trust me. Well, kind of partially. Lee, you got a couple of messages today.
I have. Only three. The first one, it's the Duke again. Our best friend, the Duke, says. I see what he's done. He sent this as an idea for a story, but it's not the sort of thing we'd want to use. But it is interesting. Uh-huh. Apparently, we heard of Emma Watson, the actress.
Emma Watson, yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah, gorgeous. Absolutely glorious.
Yes, absolutely, yes.
Right. Who's your favourite actress?
Emma Watson now.
Oh, all right then. Yeah. Emma Watson has been quoted as saying she would like to go naked in a film if she was asked. So I'd just say, on behalf of RTIFM, Emma, would you like to go naked in the film, please?
Have you ever tried doing topless radio?
I've done it. I've done bottomless radio, you know, very often. this is a message for Mark from Dorothy.
Gosh, you're honoured.
Yeah, really, I can't believe this.
Why?
She says, "Can I have a picture of Mark, please? I bet he looks gorgeous."
Well, she's right. I mean, I do, but what's she going to do with what's she going to do?
Well, I wouldn't pursue that. Actually, Dorothy, I was talking to someone, and they said they saw this Englishman drunk in Paris. I said, rat-faced. They said, oh, you know Mark then, do you?
Last
message.
Thank God.
This is from Gary from the Village of the Damned.
Hello, Gary.
Hiya, Gary. He just says, Sean Connery's 80. Roger Moore's 83. I don't understand why he's doing it. Piers Brosnan's 57. Mm-hmm. Daniel Craig's 42. Well, all I can think, Gary, is that you're really into bondage. Bondage.
Mark, just don't laugh. Don't laugh. Let the tumbleweed roll across the airwaves. And shuts him up then.
I thought it was a very good joke, actually.
I know, but we don't want to encourage him too much, for goodness sake. Oh, my word.
Sorry, carry on.
Actually, I've just thought of something that we've got to get involved in. I was sent a programme to watch from an American friend of mine from Washington, and he copied it onto a DVD and sent it over for me. And it's all about, and I think we should do this, don't text when you're driving.
Yes.
Don't text when you're driving. There was a young girl going to college, and she was texting, forgot to put a seatbelt on, crashed the car, totaled it, went through the side window, was thrown out of the car, and was killed at like 17, 18 years old. And her family have started this huge campaign. And one of the things that they say is, don't text when you're driving. Buckle up, don't text. And I think that's a wonderful thing. What do you reckon?
I think we should get behind that. Right. I think you shouldn't really text when you're doing anything other than sitting down doing things. You know, people text in the most outrageous situations, don't they?
Well,
I saw a YouTube video just a few days ago, actually. I was laughing at it with my children, because it was a woman in a shopping centre who was so busy texting that she walked and fell into a fountain. With a shopping bag coat and everything.
Texting's a strange thing, isn't it? It is. You know,
I still can't get into it.
I hate it. I texted my daughter last night, and she texted me about 20 or 30 texts between us.
Right.
And my thumb was killing me by the end.
The only time I've ever used mine with vengeance is there's a bit of software that I can plug into my laptop that talks to the phone, so I can type on a normal keyboard, and it will send it goes into the phone. But it seems a bit defeatist, really, because you've got to put your laptop on to then plug your phone in.
Why don't you just pick the phone up and phone them?
Well, it's probably quicker. Well, no, actually, it's not. No, I think the beauty of SMSing is the beauty of SMSing is you can converse quickly.
You can't. It's not as quick as going. Brr, 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 brr. Hello, is that Mark? Yes. Get lost, Mark. I hate you. Put the phone down. It's done.
Right, but you can also
SMS voicemails.
Of course you can.
Simply record your. So you know, if you wanted to text while you're driving, if you have to really pick up that phone at all, then I suppose at the very least you could just speak into it and send the message that way. Of course, the best thing to do is just don't touch your phone while you're driving. I think it's very reckless and dangerous thing to do.
I think you're right. We'll get behind that one. I'll get hold of ABC in America and we'll get behind that one. Start story. This is where we were going up with our xenophobic comments about the French being druggish and paranoid and French. What can I tell you?
I think that that is a really nasty stereotypical comment to say that the French are French.
That intonation. What?
My God, this is outrageous slur on our national character.
You little berm. BBC's had to offer an apology to Mexico.
Yeah.
What a bunch of planks the Mexicans are.
What a load of tortillas. Yeah.
They really are stupid. Because what's happened is every newswire around the world is now talking about the programme that they complained about. Because within the programme, there was some stereotypical comments made about Mexicans. Primarily, that they're ignorant. There was derogatory and racist statements about them.
Yeah.
In a laddish way. So.
Well, I think it was just a joke, wasn't it?
Well, of course it was. But, of course, the Mexicans then complained to the BBC. So, the Mexican ambassador in London, he got the ump. And so he got hold of. He got hold of the BBC. Now, of course, the BBC has said, yeah, well, it was only a joke. That's what we do in England. We make jokes about each other. Like, we make jokes about the Irish and the Scottish. And
it's lampooning.
It is lampooning. Absolutely. It's absolutely funny. And now, because they've complained about Top Gear, the greatest programme on television anywhere around the world, that goes to over 100 countries, probably one of the best exports Britain's got left.
Uh-huh.
And last week he actually won. I love this. This is so cool. Because think about it, boys and girls. The Mexicans complained about the Top Gear program being terribly nasty and using derogatory comments about Mexican people. Last week, Top Gear was named the most popular factual show at the British National TV Awards. So they've got to be right.
Good on you, Eric. Come back from Europe.
as it happens,
go on, Mark.
No, I was going to say, by coincidence, I mean, it was quite interesting that this sort of Top Gear thing has come up where they were describing a Mexican sports car, and they say, well, it couldn't be any good because it would just be sort of asleep and be sort of resting under a tree.
Yes.
I noticed that the BBC, I think, has offered another apology on behalf of Stephen Fry.
They have, haven't they? About Japan.
Yeah, that's right. Because, and although I have to say that, maybe it's a little bit more a bit more cutting and a bit more sort of sensitive.
Yes.
They were talking about this amazing man, this Japanese man who recently died, and it seems that he was probably the only person who actually managed to find himself in the middle of both atomic bombings in Japan during the war and survive both. And I think that Stephen Fry, or somebody said, in fact, that probably what happened was that the bomb in the first one simply bounced off him. I think that the Japanese have complained to the BBC that this failed to appreciate, really, the nastiness of the whole thing.
If that was the joke he made, that was actually totally unfunny as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was unfunny.
On things like this, if you can defend it by saying that it was actually funny, that it was lampooned, that just wasn't funny, was it? What Stephen Fry said, wasn't it?
Well, no, it doesn't. It just there's a point where laddishness, which we tend to use quite a lot on here, is okay. And you know, I'm sorry if you're offended by a postcard from Poprad because we poke fun at people.
Yeah.
Well, then tune away. There are
absolutely
hundreds of you don't have to be here if you don't like it. Go, please, please.
Can I just, Eric?
What?
Why are you trying to get rid of our listeners? Telling all the listeners to go. Stay, please stay. Stay with us. That's what you should be saying. Silly Billy.
Anyway, moving along.
I had a really good joke for that.
Yeah, well, it's not. I'm going to read it. Let me just read this out, and then we'll let Lee rant.
So can I just come back on this thing, by the way?
Yeah, go on.
I think what I find interesting is on the Mexico thing, there was really not really an apology given. I think there was more, it sort of amounted more to an acknowledgement, whereas the BBC in the respect of Japan actually apologised.
They did.
And in fact, I think they've cancelled some filming of a series using Stephen
Fry
in Japan.
Yep.
And it makes me ask myself, you know, why is there this difference? Because I have to say that I think Stephen Fry's comment was maybe a bit more serious in terms of likelihood to offend. And I wonder if it's really got to do with the sort of the financial muscle and the status of these people. So I think that itself, I don't really feel that these are...
No. It's a good thought, but that kind of conspiracy theory in these cases, genuinely, it's because what Jeremy Clarkson said was funny.
No, it was Richard. It was Richard Hammond that said it.
I thought they all had a go. Well, anyway,
it was Hammond that said most of it, yeah.
Yeah. What was said on Top Gear was funny. What Stephen Fry said just wasn't funny. You know, it's like if you go back to, you think what Stephen Fry said, I don't think we should even repeat it, really.
No.
But when you look at the fact that Top Gear were described as offensive, xenophobic and humiliating, and that was all they said was that, the like you say, a Mexican stays under a tree. Yeah. They actually used the word feckless, didn't they?
Yeah.
Do you know what a definition of feckless is?
Now go on, you're going to tell us.
An Irish virgin.
No.
Right, let's move on.
Right, yeah, sorry.
Let's move on. News Corporation's Rupert Murdoch is looking to extend his empire once again, this time with a new newspaper for the iPad called The Daily.
It's lovely. Have you seen it?
The Daily. It's going to cost 99 cents. No, I haven't seen it because it's only available...
60p it's going to cost.
Yeah, but it's only available in the USA. Apparently, News Corp have actually hired hundreds of journalists to work on it. Can't see the point, really, because they'll all be made redundant soon. And they're billing it as a digital newspaper, but some of the experts are saying it looks like a magazine. Now, it says, according to Mr. Murdoch, our target audience is the 15 million Americans expected to own iPads in the next year. Really? And he sort of finishes it off by saying that, and this is the sort of clue to it all, one of Apple's vice presidents has said 200 million news apps have been downloaded and there are 9,000 different news apps to choose from. Mm-hmm. Most of which happen to be free, Mr. Murdoch, which is why your daily news is going to fail.
Did you pause there for some comment?
I did.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say, brilliant, well done. Well done to Mr. Murdoch. He is actually moving with the times, literally with the times, and creating something which is exciting, dramatic, is up to date, has all the credentials of a proper newspaper, has the right attitude, everything. It's a brilliant idea.
And by the way, Mr. Murdoch, Lee's application for a job is in the post.
Yes.
Sorry. Yeah, well, I would not, having worked for News Corporation, mate, I'll tell you, it's not a place I would be banging on the door trying to get back in. And I would imagine 100 journalists they've taken on are all freelancers anyway.
Yeah.
But because you wouldn't take the chance of employing people, because like you say, and Eric's right, it is such a dangerous move to be at the vanguard of this kind of new tech newspaper thing, that there is a chance it's going to fail. But it's like, what was he called? Eddie Shah, when he brought in...
Oh, that's
Colour.
Yeah, computers too.
Got out of Wapping.
Yeah, that's right. What a brave man he was. Right at the vanguard of it again. He was a brave, heroic... He had his own peccadilloes, of course, but he was a brave, heroic man, and I think what Rupert Murdoch's doing is the same.
Got a lot of help from Margaret, though, didn't he?
He was out.
Who's that?
Who's that? Is that you?
Who's Margaret? I'm not Margaret.
Right. Listen,
she had a lot of help from me.
Thank you. It's the lady that's not for turning.
There you have it.
The lady's not for turning. So what do you obviously have a bias, Lee.
I don't have a bias. I'm not one of them.
I do. Independently, then, so the adjudicator can be Mark.
Yes.
What do you reckon?
Well, I'm not going to get an iPad. I'm waiting for the new Honeycomb Android tablets to come out before I give it a try. But, you know, I mean, I'm sure that Murdoch is no slouch. He knows what he's doing. And the other thing is he's got the money to lose. So does it matter? It's worth a punt. And I think certainly I agree with Lee. You know, very, very exciting. And I like technology and, you know, and I like anything that moves it forward. And if he gets away with charging for the news, then that means that he's able to sell it, he's able to produce something people want, and I don't see what's wrong with that.
No, absolutely. I can't argue with that at all. Some grisly, horrible news that Mr. Banks always... He's so tabloid, he always finds him. John Barry's dead.
Ah, no, yeah, honestly, yeah, the creator of the Bond themes. And Bourne 3. Cowboy. Yeah, Bourne 3. He died. Oh, I think it's sad he was 77. There's not a lot you can really say about it, but he had a good life and he turned out some fantastic music. And there's two other deaths that have really upset me this week.
Go on.
Well, Charlie Sellier, who wrote the original book of Grizzly Adams. You remember Grizzly Adams on the telly? That gorgeously big cowboy person with a beard.
Never heard of him, mate.
You're such philistine. Okay, even Western... Anyway, he wrote it and he's died as well. He was only 67. And the worst one, this is the saddest one ever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really upset about this because she was only 58. That's Last Tango in Paris for Maria, eh? Maria Schneider, the one who made Last Tango in Paris with Marlon Brando.
Never seen it.
No, didn't see it either.
Yeah, she's now... The sad thing is she didn't do much after Last Tango. I think she made a couple of films, but she got stuck in this art house pornographic sort of thing. Because it was quite pornographic, Last Tango in Paris, but it was a beautifully done film.
Was it?
And yeah, it's just sad she's dead.
Ah, okay.
Last one, do the last
at
one.
At only 58. I mean,
I know, that's it. Yeah, I know, that's a sad thing. And she was gorgeous, no matter anything else he said about her. And she lived around the corner from you as well, Mark.
In Paris?
Yes, she probably did. I think I must have seen her visiting a pharmacy at some point.
Yep.
Didn't do a much good though, did it?
That's another letter coming in now. We'll have to apologise to the estate of Maria Schneider.
Oh, my word. Yeah, God. And sadly...
Eunice Sanborn, the world's oldest person, has died. Jacksonville, Texas. The sad thing is, though, well, it's not sad, really. The official records, right, claim that she was 114 years old, making her the oldest person in the world. But she's had a bee in her bonnet for years now that actually the records are right, and she reckons she was 115. Gosh. She's taken that dispute to a grave.
Ho, ho.
Taking it to a higher authority. Yeah,
absolutely. Oh,
that's a good way to look at it, Mark.
Well, yes. A good way. bit of housekeeping to do. Say hi to the guys over in Talk Radio X in the US of A. Replay Radio. Those on Audio Boo and the nice people of RTI listening via the website. And you will find now... far beyond me to say why you'd want to, but if you go to RTI FM now, you can scroll all the way back to October with all the shows. All the shows on one little player. So thank you to Mark for sending the player across, because that was very kind of you. Bless. And we've only had it on the site for about a day and a half, and it works incredibly well. And you can go over there and just get hundreds and hundreds of programmes. My word.
Football team, aren't we? With a new player.
But like David Beckham at Spurs.
He's got spurs, and he has to have them cut off his heels. I remember something about that.
Oh, my word.
No, serious. I meant that. That was a serious.
Oh, okay. And can we, at the end of this part one, just wish everybody... Yes.
Start the show at any point. Then.
I don't know. Serious note for a moment. We do hope and pray that resolutions happen very quickly in Egypt. It's not nice to see the way things are going off in Cairo, and it was particularly difficult. If you're a technology geek like me, who's got one of those rather giant sized woks. You can watch the
boasting again.
Yeah, thank you. You can watch the with the international service from Egypt, which is called Nile TV, and some of the music they were playing on their breakfast show this morning really, really tugged at the heartstrings. I'm not surprised that Sky News and the BBC News didn't comment on it, but you've got people on there singing, "Please let's help our country. It's beautiful," and singing songs that way, and they were doing their damnedest to actually try and say to people, calm down a bit.
Yeah, that's right. That's
In a sort of newsish way. I haven't seen it on Euronews, CNN, BBC, Sky, or anywhere else. But genuinely, there's different pictures on one set of cameras coming from Cairo. To a different set of pictures.
I think it's interesting to see the way America's gone in full-blown and ham-fisted on this, though. You know, somebody's got to do something to start it, but they're just afraid that the Muslim Brotherhood are going to get into power.
Oh, they're not big enough. They're not big enough, seriously. But it's so odd how Tunisia was the start of this kind of domino effect across the Middle East, with everybody saying, that's it, boys and girls. We've had enough. Mm-hmm. We want democracy. Now, I can see some dictators in the world panicking a little bit about that. Oh, dear, what a shame. Power to the people. That's just about the end of part one of Postcard from Pop Brad on... I've forgotten what the date is now. Oh, somebody tell me later.
It's...
Yeah, that's the one.
4th of February.
Riba. It's Mexican Day today, isn't it? Of course. Hold on a minute. It can't be. We'll all be asleep. We'll have a little
departure day.
Yes. A little siesta under a tree.
Absolutely. We'll have a little siesta under a tree while you listen to these messages.
From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.